Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Chris Blair, the voice of the LSU Fighting Tigers. Chris, welcome to the show.
No, great to be with you once again. It's finally here. It's game week, man. We're just a couple of days out from kickoff.
Man, I can sense the excitement in your voice, Chris.
I'm ready to go. Ready to go. Let's get there. Saturday can't get here quick enough.
Absolutely. The number nine LSU Fighting Tigers take on the Clemson number four Clemson Tigers. Not unlike all other SEC stadiums, that's not an easy place to win in.
No, it's not. You know, I worked at Clemson for five seasons way back when, and, you know, they got a great tradition there. And, again, they like their Clemson football and certainly can't argue with, for the most part, Dabo Sweeney's tenure there as head coach. Certainly from about 2014 on, they suddenly took a major step forward and played for titles, won a couple, and again, typically are in the mix. I know the last couple of years, probably for Clemson standards, or at least the current Clemson standards, maybe not as as well as they would have liked to perform. But, you know, talking to people I know there and just watching the media, obviously a number four preseason ranking, they're going to be excited about this year's team. I'm not sure yet if it's quite the talent on paper that some of those teams had with Deshaun Watson and his college career, and obviously Trevor Lawrence, who LSU defeated in the title game in 2019 there in New Orleans. But I think the optimism is there. So Dabo Sweeney called for an orange out Saturday, so looking to see a lot of purple and gold kind of break up all that orange when we get to Frank Howard Field Memorial Stadium on Saturday night.
What do you see as the big challenges for LSU?
You know, I think it's going to be the run game again. I mean, obviously, I'll talk about defense in just a little bit, but I think LSU, you know, with the offense they have, which at times was very prolific. In fact, you can go back, you know, the last couple of years, and obviously Jaden Daniels, when he was the quarterback, he kind of was the runner in the run game, you know, and that's not Garrett's style. But I think, you know, there's some good running backs LSU has, and I think to really open up the playbook, LSU's got to be efficient running the football. I mean, just imagine, not that you're going to run on every first down, but if you do and suddenly you're looking at second and three as opposed to second and 10 on an incompletion, suddenly your playbook opens up. And, of course, Garrett's got plenty of great weapons around him, both, I think, at running back as well as the wide receiver and tight end position. So I just think it opens things up for you. So to me, offensively, I think LSU's going to be fine. They've got great playmakers wherever you look. You know, it's a new offensive line, basically, replacing Will Campbell and Emory Jones. But I think running the ball will just make things so much more dynamic for this offense. And the big question, obviously, is defensively. That's something LSU has struggled with the last couple of seasons. You know, there were games they had to outscore people to win. There were games where they just couldn't do it, and they couldn't stop the opponent. You know, a couple of games last year where dual threat quarterbacks, ran rampant. You know, Klubnik averaged last year about 33 yards a carry. He's a dual threat. He's got the ability to do it. It's not as if he's, you know, going to be out there running around like Jaden Daniels did. But I'm sure Clemson, you know, paid close attention to the film from last year for LSU on their inability sometimes to be able to stop that type of attack. So I think defensively, with the playmakers they brought in, some of the younger guys that got thrown in and baptized by fire last year, I expect LSU's defense, and you can hear Coach Kelly each week this season during fall camp and leading up to the game, really feels like this defense has taken some major strides forward. So to me, those are the two things. Can we run the ball offensively, and can we get back to the type of LSU defense that this school, this program, and certainly these fans are accustomed to?
The SEC season is a tough one, right? And, I mean, it's tough from the very beginning, and you always have to be focused on depth. As we look at this year's team compared to last year's team, both offensively and defensively, your thoughts about depth? I thought last year we couldn't end up outscoring a lot of people because we had a little bit of a depth problem, in my view. I don't know what your thoughts are, but how do you see it this year?
Yeah, I think Coach Kelly has said that. That's kind of stood out to me just listening to him over the last several weeks and months, and that's about depth at some key positions. And, you know, it certainly starts at the offensive line. While you lose those two heralded players I talked about, you know, Braylon Moore comes in. He's kind of settled things down as center, transferring him from Virginia Tech. And when you talk to the coaches, they kind of talk about how maybe you don't have at least yet that individual standout that you had last year. But as a team, as a total unit, this may be a better offensive line. He's talking about rotating, you know, as many as 6, 7, 8 guys on the offensive line. I think that probably will be the early part of the season, because I think eventually, barring injury or just giving a guy a breather, you want to kind of get some continuity there, and I'm sure that's what they're going to do. But, I mean, the fact that they've got that type of bodies that not only are listed as offensive linemen, but they feel pretty good about what they do up there. That's just one area. I think the defensive front, with the addition of Jack Pyburn from Florida and Patrick Payton from Florida State, Jacobian Guillory coming back after being injured last year, now all of a sudden you're talking about some really key names along with other transfers on that defensive front. So you're looking at the tip of the spear, both for offensive and defensive lines, that, again, it goes to a lot more depth than we saw last year and certainly the year before that, and certainly in Coach Kelly's first year. The wide receiver position, which has been phenomenal really for a long time here at LSU, is almost laughable, the abundance of riches they have. I mean, I've talked to a lot of people across our league, and they feel like there's 7 or 8 guys that they're going to have to rotate at that wide receiver position that would play a lot of snaps at a lot of SEC schools, a lot of Power 4 schools. So, I think the depth is why this team on paper, again, I like to say everything on paper until you get on the field and the lights come on, the crowd's there. I think this is why it's the most talented team Coach Kelly's had, and he's been saying that for quite a while now.
Last year's defensive play, with some of the challenges they had on the defensive line, it seemed that it put a lot of pressure on linebacker. And there was a question as to whether or not we really had the speed that we thought we had. But I'm hearing a lot from Baton Rouge this year that they feel like defensively, this is one of their fastest defensive units. Is that true from your perspective?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I believe so, having seen practice. I mean, they're flying around the football. And I thought it was interesting, you know, a couple of the sessions that the media has been able to take in, you know, one of the things I hear from them is, wow, the defense is really kind of stingy out there when they go 11 on 11 or even 9 on 9, which, you know, all of a sudden there's all this worry about the offense. I think the offense is going to be just fine. I think that's a better sign for this defense being able to cover the field sideline to sideline. And I also think a lot of times last year at the linebacker position, you were asking those guys to actually break through the line of scrimmage to get to the football. I think that, mm-hmm. you know, again, relies on your defensive front to be able to allow the guys like Wes Weeks and Whit Weeks and even Harold Perkins Jr. to make those kind of plays, that they're not fighting the defensive front or they're not fighting a running back. They're chasing the football. So I think there's improvement across the board, Newell, to be honest with you, defensively, from a personnel standpoint, from a depth standpoint, and a talent standpoint. And that even includes the secondary, because I know they've been much maligned, and at times deservedly so. But I think Coach Corey Raymond is getting DBU back where it needs to go. They've got young players who last year, as I said, got meaningful snaps and meaningful games, and they grew up a little bit on the job. They also went out in the transfer portal, number one class in the country, according to those who follow it. And they got some guys who can go out and cover now man-to-man if you need to do that. It's complementary football. If your defensive mm-hmm. front and your linebackers can wreak havoc at the line of scrimmage and in the offensive backfield, that's going to take some pressure off the back end of your defense. Likewise, if they can cover man-to-man and they can lock down on these receivers, it's going to give more time for Harold and West and Jacobian and Jack Pyburn and those guys to get to the quarterback, maybe, you know, get that sack total up, maybe get that strip football up a little bit. I just think the entire package for Blake Baker, whose philosophy is to attack after and try to disrupt these type of high-powered offenses, I think he's got the thoroughbreds now that will – I don't know if it'll be exactly where we want it to be week one, but I think we're certainly headed in the right direction.
I hope, unlike last year, that we start from the very first minute. We seem to get into a routine of starting slow last year.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think that's something Coach Kelly's talked about as well. I mean, you got four quarters of play. It's a 60-minute game. There's no reason to kind of get acclimated into the game, you know, your second or third drive or your second or third drive out there defensively. So, I've gotten the sense since early January, and I've told a lot of people this, and Coach and I talked about it last week on a show, it's really hard to delineate the end of 2024 and the start of 2025. I mean, that the work was being done when the clock hit zero in Houston last year. And a lot of it has all been centered around that sense of urgency, not only week one, but snap one, game one. And if you were around the football building the last couple of weeks, there's no doubt in your mind that they've got an important game coming up on the 30th against a top five team. I don't want to say that they put all the emphasis on the opening game of the year, but it's pretty daggone close.
Yeah, when you follow up, you know, with a game against Troy, right? I think is that at Troy or is it?
Yeah, are you talking about LSU? We got yeah. Louisiana Tech.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong schedule. That's Clemson. I'm sorry. I apologize.
No worries.
What is the follow up game for the Tigers?
Home opener, Louisiana Tech Bulldogs coming
Louisiana
down.
Louisiana Tech. That's it. Yeah. Okay. I put it around here somewhere. I can't find it amongst all the papers. You talked about the receivers, and I was talking about speed. I've heard folks say that this could be one of the fastest receiver corps that they've had in a decade.
Yeah, these guys are lightning fast. You know, I mentioned the abundance of riches. You got a healthy Chris Hilton Jr., who played sparingly for the most part at the end of last year, who had a little bit of rust. And, you know, I always talk about guys who come off injury. There's the physical part of it, and then there's the mental part of it. What can I do? When do I feel like I'm 100% confident that my legs, my arms, my midsection is going to allow me to perform the way it did prior to the injury? And I think that takes some time. Chris is good to go. He's an absolute burner. Aaron Anderson, who I think has improved his speed, is probably for the last couple of seasons, one of the more underrated receivers when you talk about guys in the SEC. I think he's a great possession receiver for you, and he can you know, wander around the field and give a target to Garrett. You go out in the portal, you get Nick Anderson. That's kind of his MO, is an absolute speedster, to let him streak right down the seam. And so I think, again, not only has LSU's offense got a returning quarterback, I think you've added to the weaponry he has with Berrion Brown from Kentucky. As I mentioned, Nick Anderson. Kyle Parker is healthy, who I think he's got a bright future ahead of him. Jelani Watkins. I mean, the list goes on and on, not to mention whether or not you're going to go with Bauer, the tight end transfer from Oklahoma, which is a little more like your traditional tight end, or Tre'Davious Green, who is almost uncoverable from a defensive perspective at that tight end position as maybe really an extra receiver. I think Garrett's going to have the ability to stretch the defense when he wants to. He's going to have the short stuff, the dink and dunk if they need it, and he's going to have the intermediate passes. And he's got great players at all of those levels offensively.
And is there someone new joining you in the booth, Jacob Hessler?
Yeah, he joined us last year. He'll be back
this
season. Yeah. So, yeah, happy to have number 18, Jacob Hester, in there with us, along with Gordy Rush on the sidelines. And I'm sitting here right now trying to get everything ready, so we'll be ready to go when boot meets ball Saturday night.
All righty. Chris Blair, the voice of the LSU Fighting Tigers. Can't wait to listen to you on Saturday night, man. Thank you so much for joining us. And have a great weekend. Bring home that win. No pressure. Just bring it home.
You got it. As always, thank you, Noah. Always appreciate chatting with you.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.